From banners and magnetic signs to t-shirts, decals, and business cards, New Vision Graphics has been leading the industry in the development and production of top quality products and quality banners for over 13 years. Get durable, full-color banners featuring your logo in multiple sizes with the most reliable service. Winning teams are using banners from New Vision Graphics right now, and you can too. And you can market your company, church, or organization with shirts, caps, beverage coolies, and more, all with your logo and team information, printed with state-of-the-art equipment and the best service in the business. Call the hotline at New Vision Graphics for quotes and more information. 800-HOT-4479. That's 800-HOT-4479. Or visit the website, www.newvisiongraphics.cc. www.newvisiongraphics.cc. Welcome to the new world, New Vision Graphics.
Hi, this is Scott Grenia from Fairfax, Vermont, also known as Scotty the Q, and you're listening to The Barbecue Central Show.
Coming up next on The Barbecue Central Show.
First of all, it's loaded with vitamin C, so if you're going to take a sailboat to Europe, take a couple pails of kraut along, you won't get scurvy, you know?
Welcome to Barbecue Central, the show where we talk about all things important to the world of barbecue. From big-named interviews to advice on cooking brisket and ribs, you'll find it all right here inside Barbecue Central. If you're interested in learning more about barbecue, feel free to visit our website at www.bbq-4-u.com. Get connected to the best barbecue forum on the Internet. And now, here's your program host, Greg Rempe.
Thank you, Jim Morgan, and welcome to Barbecue Central, the show where we talk about all things important to the world of barbecue. Wherever you are across the globe, I certainly appreciate you taking time out to join me. Today, we're going to be talking to Ryan Downs. He's the co-owner of Great Lakes Kraut Company. They are the largest producer of sauerkraut. We're going to be learning about sauerkraut, how to make it, perhaps why it's one of the most overlooked condiments on the dinner table. He's taking time out of his busy schedule to join me today. Ryan, welcome to Barbecue Central.
Thank you. I appreciate being on. I'm looking forward to having a good discussion about the uses of sauerkraut in grilling.
Ryan, could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself in a personal background sense, and then we'll get into sauerkraut and barbecue.
I'm a third-generation kraut manufacturer. Our company's been around since the turn of the last century, right around 1900. My grandfather started the company, and we family members have slaved in it ever since. About 10 years ago, we formed a joint venture with Birdseye Foods and purchased their facilities in upstate New York along with a couple of other producers. And in the past 10 years, we've really combined 10 different sauerkraut factories into two. One where I am located now, Bear Creek, Wisconsin, and the other in Shortsville, New York, which is near Rochester in the Finger Lakes country. Collectively, we make more sauerkraut than anyone else in the world. In fact, more than the countries of Germany, Holland, and France combined. So we make a lot of sauerkraut, and we make it well.
Growing up, was grilling and barbecue part of the family tradition during weekends and during the summer months?
Oh, very much so, yes. Yeah, my dad was a barbecue aficionado. We made many different, of course, steaks and brats and all of that stuff. He was famous for his little red potatoes also. He would put on the grill in tin foil with butter and just the right amount of kosher salt. So we'd top the burgers with sauerkraut and enjoy the little red potatoes, and we absolutely love grilling. I would say that we grilled out during the summer 5 out of 7.
So you obviously got in the sauerkraut business more of a hereditary thing, family-wise.
That's right. Yeah, I actually, after college and the service, worked Procter & Gamble for a year and then for a stock brokerage firm for 6 years. And at some point, you have to decide what you want to do. And I figured, I knew a lot about the kraut business and the stocks and bonds. There's always something different happening. I felt I'd have more of a control if I entered the kraut business. So that's what I did. And I've enjoyed it ever since. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a good life. And you meet great people. It's kind of fun to swing with the various seasons. As I said earlier today, we started planting and, in about 4 months, we'll be in the middle of harvesting, and during the winter, there's a huge rush for our product. Then in the spring, we kind of take it easy and do a little fishing or go somewhere, and then bingo, you start right back at it again.
You mentioned just a little bit ago that you had kind of gone from, or there had been 10 kraut manufacturers all over the country that have kind of consolidated into two. Has Great Lakes always been one of the major players?
Yes. Yeah. We actually, 10 years ago, we were called Flanagan Brothers. And the other company that we formed the joint venture with was a division of what is now Bird's Eye, but was then Curtis Burns. And they were the old Empire State Kraut and Pickling Company from upstate New York. Just before we did the joint venture, we bought two plants from Black and Guggenheimer in upstate New York, and then formed the joint venture with Bird's Eye and added their three plants to the mix. We then consolidated all five of those into one plant a couple of years later. And similarly, in Wisconsin, we bought Wisconsin Kraut, which was a joint venture of Chiquita Foods and Del Monte, and melded that into our Bear Creek facility. And 2 years ago, bought Bush Brothers Kraut facility in Chiacton, Wisconsin, and blended that into ours. So we've got a lot of kraut plants that we've put all together here over the past 10 years. We've changed the industry quite dramatically. We do things that no one else in the world does. We have the ability, we have huge stainless steel vats. Each one holds about 1,250 tons. We have the ability to pump our kraut from those vats to our filling lines to fill cans, jars, bags, pails, whatever we might be filling at that time. And consequently, we don't have the human element. We don't have people walking around in the sauerkraut like we did years ago. And we continue to innovate and automate, and it's great fun. And it's kind of like making wine. You know, you get a good product and you ferment it, and you get just the right salt and acid balance, and bingo, you've got great natural sauerkraut.
That's kind of a good segue into my next question, which was, for those of us that don't know, how is sauerkraut actually made?
It's a pretty simple operation. I'm almost afraid to say how simple it is. Somebody will start up a kraut plant or something. What you do, you get the cabbage from, we grow it ourselves, and we have some farmers that grow it for us. And we bring it to our facility, and this is all semi-automated. We remove the core. We have like a corkscrew device that goes into each head and fragments and pulls out the bulk of the core. Then the outer leaves fall off. We trim any extraneous green leaves or dirty spots or anything from the cabbage, wash it, and then shred it into what you'd call coleslaw, like you get with a fish fry or something. We then drop it onto a fast-moving conveyors onto which salt is pouring. And we put about a 2% by weight amount of salt on the slaw. The slaw then travels via conveyor to the vats that we've fermenting vats. Because these vats are so huge, they self-level. So once we get 1,250 tons in, which takes the better part of a day, we then put two layers of 3-mil plastic over the top of the vat, and we put water on that, about 8 inches of water, so that the kraut stays anaerobic, doesn't get any air in it. That way, only the bugs that we want to grow in there will grow in there. There are a lot of technical Latin names, but the right bugs thrive and then die off, and certain other bugs take over. And the end bug is creates lactic acid, which gives sauerkraut the tang. And also, these are all real friendly critters, so you don't ever have to worry about food poisoning or botulism, any problems like that whatsoever with sauerkraut. It's the acidity and the friendly bugs take care of that. So after we do that, we wait till the acidity, lactic acid, reaches at least 1%. We then pump the kraut to the lines that we're filling. We, many days, are filling cans and jars and bags and pails and barrels simultaneously. And they each go off to their various markets. The bag kraut is a refrigerated product that's sold in the meat case or deli case of a store for the most part. Glass kraut is generally sold in the grocery section alongside pickles and items like that, but can be sold in the refrigerated section as well. And then you have the standard cans, which are sold in the can with alongside of canned vegetables. The pails and barrels, some people repack the barrels into other products, like they use kraut to fill pierogies or things like that. The pails are used institutionally in many places where you order a hot dog, guy reaches down beneath his cart into the pail of kraut and grabs up enough kraut that your hot dog is covered with it. And, of course, kraut is one of the top dressings or condiments for hot dogs. So we sell a heck of a lot of them that way and on bratwurst, which gets back to the grilling angle of things.
From the time you get these cabbages into the slaw and you go through that initial process where they're now in the vat fermenting. How long of a time frame is that to where you're actually pumping it out and starting to fill the pails and the cans and all that stuff?
You know, Greg, that depends on the time of the year, and I'll explain why. In the fall of the year, we're trying to maximize the usage of our stainless steel vats. So we bring the cabbage in from the fields at a rapid clip. We grind up 1,600 tons per day in each of our facilities. And at some point, your kraut vats start to get pretty full, and you don't have any more room. So we process in the fall after about 2 weeks of fermentation. And we accomplish that by, first of all, the cabbage coming from the field in the early fall is warm, which causes it to ferment faster. As the season gets more toward the latter fall, early winter, the cabbage coming in is cold. It's near freezing, and it slows down the fermentation process. So that stuff that we bring in late October and early November will remain in the vats until the following late August, so that we've always got kraut, and really our vats are our primary warehouse.
You said 1,600 tons a day.
Yes, yes.
So we're talking like 3.2 million pounds.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. That would be per plant, yes.
That's a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. Can you imagine how much it was when the guys used to have to shovel it? That's what, I mean, you know, it's a rough morning when you get up and say, well, I got to shovel 3.2 million pounds of sauerkraut today. Now that we have the pumping systems in place, we are not reliant on the manpower, and it's a much more sanitary, much cleaner operation.
Great Lakes Kraut offers two different kinds. You have the crisp kraut and the silver floss.
Yes, those are two of our brands. That's correct.
Can you give us a breakdown of, you know, how you came up with the names for each, and then what makes each one its own separate entity, and why you would use one over the other for whatever?
Well, the crisp kraut, I guess, was kind of my idea, I don't know, 20 years ago maybe, just looking for a little differentiation. And so we spell it crisp with four R's, so it's kind of crisp kraut. And it's got a little ring to it. We patented the name. And that reflects our bag kraut, which is not cooked or is not pasteurized. It's natural. And consequently, we feel that has a little more of a crunch, a crisp crunch, if you will. So that's why we call that part of the sauerkraut crisp. Silver Floss is a name that Empire Kraut and Pickle dreamed up, God only knows when, maybe 115, you know, around the turn of the 18th or 19th century. They've had that forever. So that's a very popular kraut up and down the eastern seaboard. It's the number one brand in the United States, and we're in the process right now of converting the Busch brand to Silver Floss, having purchased Busch a little better than 2 years ago.
Now, when I think of sauerkraut, typically I'm thinking of a bratwurst or maybe something they cook pork roast in. But I'm imagining since you're around it every day, you can associate much more things alongside of just your typical traditional type stuff that a lot of people might think about. Can you kind of lead us into something like that?
Yeah, you know, an interesting one. Now, this isn't grilling as such, but it's a chicken Reuben, okay? You take, and I'm just going to give you rough quantities, but you take a bag of our crisp kraut and drain it. You take an eight, I don't know what the standard size tray or glass tray is, but I think it's like 8.5 by 11, something like that. You put a little margarine or butter on the bottom so it's not sticky. You lay down boneless chicken patties, about 6 or 7 of them. On top of that, you put this dry sauerkraut. I always put a little pepper on the top of that. Then I take, if I want to go no fat or low fat, I put low fat Swiss cheese. And then I cover the whole thing with Thousand Island dressing, either low fat or regular. And then put tinfoil over the top, bake it at 325 for about an hour. And you've got chicken Reuben, which I think is a great dish. And you can prepare it in the morning before you go to work, even the night before you go to work, and then just pop her in the oven for about an hour, and you've got a good meal. That's, you know, that's one different way. People don't usually think of poultry with kraut. But then in Baltimore, at both Christmas and Thanksgiving, anybody that cooks a turkey in Baltimore puts it on a bed of sauerkraut. So I guess it lends itself well to that. In Pennsylvania, over Christmas, people cook it with either poultry or pork, depending on whether it's Christmas or New Year's. I get my days mixed up, and those are our biggest sales days of the year. If you look at our charts, they just actually the sales jump off the charts during that span. So There are a lot of different ways of doing it, but the old standard that I see here in Wisconsin is, you know, you drive past any gas station or farmer's market or whatever it may be, even grocery stores on a weekend, if you're not familiar, it says BRAT, which could be translated as brat, but it's brat.
Right.
It'll be a brat fry, you know, and you'll have some guys, usually volunteers, working for a church or some charity with a homemade stand held up by, you know, some 2x4s held on barrels, a couple grills going, and they're maybe even selling beer. And I mean, people just pull off the road, and it's very common from about the 1st of May through September here in this state. I took a walk on Saturday in Appleton, Wisconsin, and just a, you know, a health type walk, and I walked past three different places that were having brat fries. So pretty hard to stay real healthy here.
To help out the non-healthy part of the brat, I did a little research on your website prior to doing the interview, and there's quite a substantial amount of information about how eating sauerkraut is actually a healthy thing. Maybe you could shed some light on the health benefits of eating sauerkraut.
Oh, sure. I mean, they're myriad. They're just simply unbelievable. But, you know, first of all, it's loaded with vitamin C. So if you're going to take a sailboat to Europe, take a couple of pails of kraut along and you won't get scurvy, you know. That's what the Dutch did. They made sure their naval vessels were just loaded with sauerkraut. And as a result, their sailors kept up on the vitamin C and didn't have scurvy when the rest of the world's navies were. But then also, recently it's come to light in a couple of different studies, but one by Michigan State, and I think the other kind of a joint study, Michigan State and New Mexico State, where the incidence of breast cancer among women who eat kraut three or more times a week is reduced by 74%, which is really dramatic. And they did this study by measuring ladies in Poland versus their relatives who had migrated to the United States, and determined, because the Polish ladies just weren't getting breast cancer, and when they moved to the States, they would. They determined there was simply the volume of sauerkraut that people in Poland consume. And also, it's very good in counteracting colorectal cancer. And it's also got other probiotics that are good for your stomach, you know, like yogurt has. So there are just a ton of good things to say about it. And it's got a lot of vitamin B also. So just a very healthy, good food.
In your honest opinion, again, you're obviously around kraut all the time, and you've spoken on national TV shows and whatnot. Do you think sauerkraut gets the recognition it deserves, or do you think it's still one of those things that are flying under the radar as far as things you would eat every day, things you would put on as a topper, et cetera?
Well, it's kind of the ugly sister, you know what I mean? when you think about it, the name sauerkraut kind of, people wrinkle up their noses and turn away. So yeah, they have to be introduced to it. And once, generally speaking, once somebody has it, they kind of like it and they'll come back for more. But it's, there's this, you know, there's an introductory curve there that we have, and we have to conquer that. And especially with Americans becoming more and more enamored of fast food. The only thing we have to offer in the fast food category really is a Reuben, which in its own right is a very, very good sandwich. But years ago, people made sauerkraut in their basements. You know, most of us, or many of us, descended from Europeans, both Eastern and Western, for whom sauerkraut was a real staple. But I think as we've gone down through the generations, we've lost a little bit of that. So we continue to try to reintroduce people to it. We have recipe contests and this sort of stuff. And we figure once we get them trying it a couple times, we get them hooked. So we've been able to see consumption stabilize. It had declined for years. And we're starting to see a little uptick now. And some of these more upper-end restaurants, you know, say in Manhattan or other upscale places, are featuring kraut more and more on their menu because they're realizing, you know, the benefits and the interesting things that you can do with it.
To show kind of how big sauerkraut is, what's your overall output of sauerkraut during the course of the year?
Okay, well, I always measure everything in tons, okay?
Right.
so forgive me. But we'll do about 100, it's somewhat crop dependent, but about 170 million to 180 million, 170,000 to 180,000 tons over a 12-month period. And I don't really have to multiply that by 2,000 to figure out how many million pounds. But
that's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah. Suffice it to say, it's a lot. We have cabbage grown. I'm in Bear Creek, Wisconsin, and the cabbage is grown in an area of about, radius of about 15 miles from our plant. It grows at a rate of about 35 to 50 tons per acre, depending on the year and the field and so on. We then, you know, we bring it in to the plant here and then process it. In upstate New York, it's much the same. Most of the kraut comes from near the plant. And if you fell out of an airplane over upstate New York or our area here in Wisconsin, it'd take you a few minutes to realize which place you were. You'd have to look for some road signs because they're pretty identical. The soils, the trees, everything. And they're the two best growing areas, we think, in the world.
So it is real similar to growing wine and grapes.
Yeah. In fact, I was down in Mendoza, Argentina, 2 years ago, and it's a big wine-growing area.
Malbec sauerkraut, I can see it now.
Yeah, I thought about it, I'll tell you. And we were seeing how, you know, and they had a couple of the wineries showed how they had evolved. And it's the same way that we evolved, and we did it independent of one another, really. But their first vats were wooden, and the more recent vats were cement lined with fiberglass and or an epoxy. And then the most modern and up-to-date were stainless, and that's the same thing we've got here. We have all three in the plant. Obviously, we're leaning more and more to the stainless because of the sanitation issue and the capacity and the lack of maintenance. But there are very, very strong similarities between the two industries. They just get all the press. I don't know what's up with that, but... That's the way it is, I guess.
Well, it seems like it's actually becoming more and more popular, within the last 10 years, especially current day. So perhaps sauerkraut has its day coming here in the near future.
I think we do. You know, it's a dish that you can use as a condiment, or you can use it as a main course. I mean, the chucrut garni, there's nothing more gourmet than that dish. That's a favorite of the Alsace region of France. And so, yeah, it occupies the whole food spectrum, from the lowly hot dog to right up to a combination of sausages and pork and some of the best dishes imaginable.
Crisp kraut and silver floss have actually both been recognized as being the best-tasting sauerkraut. Can you tell us about that and how that all shook out?
Yeah, we recently received an award from the chefs. They're independent chefs, really, at the American Culinary Chefs. They call it the Chef's Best, and we were judged against other brands and rated the highest in overall taste and quality. So, for somebody buying our kraut, that means they're getting the best bang for their buck, really, when you think about it. But no, we're tickled to death about it, and we've been able to put this on our branded labels, which is just, it's an honor. And you work hard at these things, and to receive something like that, just it tripped our triggers pretty good. We're happy about it.
Do you know what kind of a process the tasting, obviously, with barbecue, a lot of us are into competitions, and there's rules that are set forth to, deem who the winner is for that particular weekend. Do you know what type of criteria were set up to have the individual sauerkrauts judged and then how they were picked to be winners?
Yeah, well, as far as I know, they pretty much follow what we call normal we don't call it judging, but we call them cuttings, where they make sure that the salt and acid balance is good. In other words, you don't want both salt and acid to be screamingly high. You want a range of, say, about 1% on your acid, 1.5 on the salt. You want to keep that ratio. They look at texture to make sure it's not mushy. Color, of course, is of paramount importance. You want a lighter kraut. You don't want something that's real dark. And then the cut of the kraut is important as well. People are accustomed to eating the long span, of a long shred, I should say, of kraut, which is traditional, more like a spaghetti strand versus the chopped kraut. So I think these are really the characteristics that that they look at, most. And, of course, we know that our kraut exceeds in all of these areas, so I would be very disappointed if we didn't come out tops in any one of these, judgings.
Is there a particular web address you'd like to send people to learn a little bit more about Great Lakes Kraut and about the two sauerkraut brands that you offer?
Yes, we have a good website at crispkraut.com, and crisp is spelled K-R-R-R-R-I-S-P. Then kraut, K-R-A-U-T. So www.crispkraut.com, and that's crisp with four R's. But we've got a ton of recipes, on the site, and you can learn a little bit more about sauerkraut there. In fact, we've got a pretty good website, I think. I'm pleased with it. You know, some are, I've seen good and bad, and I'd say we rank up there with one of the better ones. But it's a, you know, you ought to come out here sometime, Greg, or anybody in the audience. We give tours, and it's nothing more interesting than watching 1,000 tons of cabbage race through here on a September day. It's a, you know, Packers or the Badgers are going to be playing on the weekend. You know, you're going to be having it on top of your brats or your hot dogs or whatever, and you get to see it right from start to finish.
Yeah, if I ever make my way out there, man, you know, I'll hit you up and take a look at how the sauerkraut is made for sure. And I think we got some members out there in that neck of the woods that might find it interesting to head out there for a weekend and see what's up.
Oh, it's nothing more fun than, as I said, doing that on a nice autumn day. And we're pretty friendly here, so we'd make sure that everybody got to walk through and see what we do.
Ryan Downs is the co-owner of Great Lakes Kraut Company. Ryan, I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to me today about the sauerkraut, how it's made, and all the ins and outs, and continued success in the future.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Thanks again to Ryan for joining me, talking about the ins and outs of sauerkraut. If you are interested in learning more about the Crisp Kraut and the Silver Floss brands, you can visit their website at crispkraut.com. That's K-R-R-R-I-S-P-K-R-A-U-T.com. Stay tuned for the New Vision graphics spot on the Backside Jones. For Barbecue Central, this is your program host, Greg Remy, saying so long, everybody.
From banners and magnetic signs to t-shirts, decals, and business cards, New Vision Graphics has been leading the industry in the development and production of top quality products and quality banners for over 13 years. Get durable, full-color banners featuring your logo in multiple sizes with the most reliable service. Winning teams are using banners from New Vision Graphics right now, and you can too. And you can market your company, church, or organization with shirts, caps, beverage coolies, and more, all with your logo and team information, printed with state-of-the-art equipment and the best service in the business. Call the hotline at New Vision Graphics for quotes and more information. 800-HOT-4479. That's 800-HOT-4479. Or visit the website, www.newvisiongraphics.cc. www.newvisiongraphics.cc. Welcome to the new world, New Vision Graphics.